That could help.
Drusel continued her reporting.
An argument rages. The flagship captain wants the gravity projectors to be redirected this instant. The other destroyer captain maintains we are a ruse, and the interdictor captain insists that they wait on an answer from Pulsar before acting rashly.
Nakari looked at me. Why doesn't the flagship captain simply order it done? He probably will in a moment. The other captains are making sure their objections are heard and recorded, so that if the operation goes badly, they can't be faulted for the decision.
Ah, got it,
Nakari said, nodding with comprehension. Standard operating procedure in a culture of blame, where risk-taking and initiative are punished. Always tell Lord Vader it was someone else's fault.
Pulsar couriers just simplified matters. They report they currently have no outbound shipments headed that way, and we are not one of their ships.
That was fast.
The flagship captain has ordered us stopped now, and the interdictor captain is complying, turning off gravitational projector to realign in front of our present course.
Can they stop us?
Nakari asked. Maybe, I said. Depends partly on the crew and partly on their power situation. They've been conducting operations for a while here, turning the projectors on and off, and their generators might be drained. Or they might not. I haven't done this all that often in raids, much less alone. We'll find out in a couple of minutes. Or less. R2, will you throw up a countdown giving us the time until the jump? He chirped, and the display indicated we had 89 seconds left. I've noticed the curious ability of time to linger and stretch instead of pass by under moments of stress or boredom. And yet it can slip past unnoticed during periods of rest and contentment. Right then, it was a monstrous, lumbering creature that barely moved as we waited for the seconds to tick by. With 32 seconds to go, Drusel made another report.
Interdictor Captain announced the projector is down and realigning to our sector, spinning up.
Our intelligence was spotty here. 30 seconds had to be a minimum time to get a gravity field projected. Intelligence suggested it took more like a couple of minutes, but we weren't safely outside of operational parameters yet.
You know what, Luke? You're kind of cute when you're nervous.
The twin shocks of being called both cute and nervous tore my eyes from the countdown. Nakari was smirking at me.
I also like how you're completely calm when people are shooting at you, but are easily rattled by compliments.
It's not everyone who can rattle me, I said. Just you. She tilted her head, and I added, but in a good way. Nakari flashed her teeth at me and said,
of course. I'm the good kind of rattling.
And she was, because she successfully distracted me from the countdown, and the hyperdrive shot us out of that sector into a region of space more accurately charted by Drusel's equations than any existing star charts.
Hey, did we just get away? I asked. Yep, for the moment anyway. Good job, pilot.
I sighed in relief. I knew that Nakari was teasing me again. I'd had very little to do with it. This part of the trip was all made possible by math and physics, and brains that could process it far faster and more accurately than I ever could. It wasn't without its own tension, however. Without traveling established lanes, there was a chance we'd never come back into real space again. But if we did, we'd have a view of the galaxy no one else had ever enjoyed before. Over the next 8 hours, we wound up spending more time in real space than hyperspace. Drusel's short jumps dumped us into new systems, and she spent time with R2 taking readings, scanning the stars, and then tweaking her calculations for the next jump. I encouraged her to take all the time she needed. Most of the systems we encountered were full of barren rocks and gas giants, but one had a habitable planet with life on it. We lingered there a while longer, noted the coordinates and the path to get there, and took some preliminary scans of the planet to be analyzed later.
This might yield something useful for my father, Nakari said. A consolation prize for losing his advantage on Fex.
It might also work as a base for the Alliance, I said, making sure R2 noted weather patterns and took some atmospheric readings. If the water's okay and it doesn't have predators like Fex, it could be the kind of place Admiral Ackbar is looking for. The worry of being lost in space got replaced by the worry of running into Imperials again once Drusel and R2 announced that we were back on established routes, skirting the far side of Hutt space and traveling to the galactic north, dropping into a deserted system, and then plotting our course from there into Amarth. Our eventual arrival into the Amarth system was an anticlimax. I didn't realize how tense my shoulders were until I saw no threats on the scanners and hardly any ships at all in orbit around the planet. They were small yachts with few weapons. "Oh," I said, consciously relaxing. "No one's gunning for us. That's a nice change. Kind of the galaxy I want to live in, honestly."
"I'll take it," Nakari said,
and then brought up a current view of the planet on the hollow.
"Well, are we sure there's land on that thing? It looks like a solid blue marble with some clouds swirling above it."
"I assure you that dry land exists," Drusel said over the comm. "I have provided the rendezvous coordinates to your outstanding droid."
"Thanks," I replied, grinning over the fact that R2 had now been upgraded to outstanding in Drusel's eyes. He'd climbed so high so fast. "R2, go ahead and put them in and set our course. I'll take back manual control if necessary." His acknowledging chirp provoked a happy sigh from me. I looked over at Nakari and smiled. "Almost through with this mission."
"I know. Part of me can't believe we made it."
My smile faltered, and I tensed up again. Destiny sometimes finds it amusing to strike at people who believe they're safe. I rechecked the scanners for threats and made sure the shields were still up and working.
"What?"
Nakari said.
"Luke?"
"It's nothing," I said. "I have a part of me that can't believe it either. The wars made me believe that nothing is ever easy. But maybe we really did fake out the Empire with those uncharted hyperspace jumps. Turned out we did fool the Empire. And Drusel was right. They'd never look for her on Omarith. But that's not who was waiting for us to enter the atmosphere."